You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Ironrun. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We're inching towards next week's NFL draft. That will happen on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But before we do that, we're setting the table looking at the rankings that are up there, the expert consensus rankings, half-point PPR on Fantasy Pros, and looking at who's rising and who's falling from their scoring finish from 2021, and we've done that with quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. It's time to finish this little mini-series looking at tight ends. So we'll do that for you on today's show. A lot of guys with the same value as last year, some rising and falling here, so we'll break that down for you in depth. Before we dive in, I have to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off $500. Use the code Locked On at checkout to take advantage of that special offer there to save 10% off a $500 purchase. All right, let's dive right into the tight ends. It might not shock you that the number one scorer from last year was Mark Andrews. Number two behind him is Travis Kelce. And what we're doing here is half-point PPR production, and we're doing it points per game. So not looking at cumulative, but what they did on average per game there to look at who was really the top tight end and so on and so forth. So Mark Andrews finished at that level. Took advantage of being Lamar Jackson's go-to guy. He also finished well with Tyler Huntley here. So big year for Mark Andrews, maybe his peak year, career season here as the number one target in the Baltimore offense. So big year for him. He's down to number two. Travis Kelce is back up to number one. He finished as the number two tight end last year. So pretty normal there with those two guys here when we look at who's up and down. These guys are staying pretty steady as the elite pair of guys here in 2022. Now, number three finisher from last year was Rob Gronkowski, but he's not in the NFL right now, so people are being conservative about his ranking. He's at number 11, and if he comes back, I think you'll see a bump up here, but they're still holding out hope in general that Gronk will return to the Buccaneers and help that team, but he's still debating it. The longer it goes here, going past the draft, it could be that Gronk is hanging it up and doesn't want to come back for one final season with Tom Brady. So we're monitoring that, but it would definitely take a big tight end out of the equation. It would also bump up the value of Cameron Brate quite a bit with O.J. Howard now playing with the Bills and out of Tampa. So something to watch there. The Bucs could also target a tight end in this draft to give us a little better indication if Gronk is returning or not. Number four on the rankings, number four in last year's finish in terms of points per game, is George Kittle. And George Kittle, again, stayed relatively healthy, produced pretty well. I think he could do a lot more. I think we don't get the touchdowns we want from George Kittle or the durability as much, but he's still an elite option, and he still belongs right behind Andrews and Kelce, Kelce and Andrews, whatever order you take those guys. So Kittle, pretty solid last year. I think some people would like him to be more durable, so he plays the entire season to live up to that production, but George Kittle certainly has a lot of interest here going into 2022. The 49ers offense is status quo here. If it's Trey Lance in there instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, you should lean on the tight end a little bit more. We don't know what's happening with Debo Samuel and the potential holdout and all that, looking for an extension. So Kittle stays pretty elite here, and I think you bump him up to three there overall, but right about the right ranking for George Kittle. And we'll get into who's number three in a little while. It's surprising how low he finished last year, but we'll get into him actually in our second segment here. Dalton Schultz finished as tight end five among the tight end ones last year. He's down to number eight. I think you can keep Dalton Schultz right about there because of his production. He is a top half tight end one. You look at the situation in Dallas, you have CeeDee Lamb and you have Michael Gallup, but you move on from Amari Cooper. Schultz and that chemistry with Dak Prescott was key. They franchise tagged him to keep him around. It didn't look like they would keep Dalton Schultz, but he's locked in now as the latest guy from Stanford to have in fantasy football impact at tight end. So good ranking for him. TJ Hockenson, like his buddy George Kittle from Iowa stays pretty steady at number 6. Was a little unhealthy down the stretch, but was rather productive overall. Started out hot, then really cooled off a bit. They incorporated wide receivers. Hawkinson got hurt himself, so slowed down. But Hawkinson right there, smack dab in the middle, as a very solid tight end one. That makes a lot of sense. Now, Darren Waller missed time, but he still finished on average in half-point PPR as the number 7 tight end last year. He's ranked number 5 right now. So, yeah, Kelce, Andrews, Kittle at 4, and then Waller at 5. We'll talk about it again. Number 3 is not a surprise, but he was a little bit surprising where he finished last year as a rookie. So we'll give you that hint. But Waller missed some time, but now you have a guy to deflect some attention to Davante Adams as well as Hunter Renfro. So that's going to help. It does drop Waller and Renfro a little bit in the pecking order. But again, Derek Carr is certainly not going to go away from Waller and Renfro. He's just going to use Adams to get more favorable coverage on both those guys. So pretty good ranking here for Darren Waller. Dawson Knox is about where he should be. He's ranked 9th here. He finished 8th in average half-point PPR scoring at tight end last year. So pretty solid tight end one for the Bills' breakout tight end. O.J. Howard, I don't think, affects it too much that he's in Buffalo with his ability. So Dawson Knox, that's about right for him. And again, we'll get into some guys that are still a little bit ranked ahead of him in our next segment. Before we break down the rest of the tight ends, and we'll go pretty deep here, we'll go 24 deep and then talk about 6 more guys that weren't there from their scoring last year that have a big chance to have an impact this year. We talked at the beginning about Blue Nile, host being the sponsor of this podcast. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler. You got to check it out here. Everyday fine jewelry that you can get at BlueNile.com. Jewelry is typically given as a gift specifically there for Mother's Day, and you want to enjoy that here and take advantage of their offer. It's a great place to find a gift for anyone special in your life here. It's very easy to find your fine jewelry of choice if you're looking for it but having trouble choosing. Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make Mother's Day something enduring. Classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, and so much more only at BlueNile.com. Celebrate the special women in your life, whether they're your mom, your significant other, or a daughter. On BlueNile.com, you can easily navigate through thousands of fine jewelry options at every price point. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Check it out, BlueNile.com, to help you with your fine jewelry gift-giving needs this May. All right, let's dive right back into our tight end ranking updates here, the Stockwatch, who's rising and who's falling. As we talk about Stockwatch, it's also an important part of the NFL Draft. Starting Thursday, April 28th, this is a big announcement here for you. Tune into Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft for all 3 days of real-time analysis from an extensive lineup of experts and insiders. For those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch Odyssey and Locked On NFL's mock draft special hosted by Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show all week leading up to the first pick. Check it out, Locked On NFL Draft, on the Locked On NFL Draft YouTube page, Odyssey NFL Mock Draft, Odyssey and Locked On NFL Draft podcast feeds. You can check out Locked On NFL Draft on April 28th at 7, April 29th, 6:30, and the final day of the draft, April 30th, 11:30 a.m. The Odyssey NFL Mock Draft runs April 18th through the 25th on the network. Time to break down more tight ends and their rankings now and where they finished there in relation to that. Dallas Goedert is in the top 10. He finishes the number 9 tight end last year for the Eagles in terms of average half-point PPR points per game. He's at number 7. That makes a lot of sense. He's the key target here for Jalen Hurts as it stands right now as the starting quarterback. Goddard's not going away as a key target with Devonta Smith. Logan Thomas is on his way down here. He finished at 10 before he got hurt there. He's down to 17 possibly here, maybe a little bit lower. But, yeah, I think he's a borderline tight end 1-2 at best, so the 13 to 17 range. So that's why you have Logan Thomas down there. And Washington should remix the receiving core a little bit where he drops in the pecking order. You have Hunter Henry. He finishes a tight end one last year in his average half point PPR scoring for the Patriots in his first season. He drops to 14. I think that's about right with these other guys rising up there at this position. Zach Ertz stays steady. He's right where he's at. They're 12, so this displaced Max Williams, by the way. Max Williams did rank 19th in scoring in terms of average, but Zach Ertz took over. They made a trade for him, used a draft pick here in 2022 to get him for the Cardinals. They re-signed him as well as Max Williams, so Williams' value dash, but Ertz just about right there. Now, Kyle Pitts should see a big, big jump here. He finished as tight end 13, so a little bit disappointing as a rookie when we're taking him as tight end 6 through 8 last year. But this year, there's no Calvin Ridley. They're still trying to figure out the rest of the receiving core without Russell Gage. Kyle Pitts is going to be the go-to guy. Marcus Mariota likes throwing to the tight end. If it's a rookie, they're going to treat Kyle Pitts as an important security blanket. So however you look at it, Kyle Pitts is a man. I know there was some concern there last year when Calvin Ridley didn't play, where Kyle Pitts got the attention and coverage, but they should draft somebody here to deflect some of the attention from Pitts. It could be as early as number 8 overall, whether it's a Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson coming in, or maybe you have a Christian Watson, the Falcons draft. So that's going to help. They just need to get another option that's going to make coverages think about it a little bit more. So Kyle Pitts, number 3, pretty aggressive, but again, he should dominate targets for Arthur Smith with Mariota or a rookie quarterback in there pivoting from Matt Ryan as well. So that's another factor we look at. Tight ends sometimes get boosted by actually unknown and shaky quarterback situations who can't push the ball downfield. Ryan is gone, so Pitts can restart here with Mariota again, or that potential first-round rookie for Atlanta. Noah Fant has changed teams. His stock hasn't changed all that much. However, he finished as the tight end 14 last year, so deeper leagues. He was a borderline starter for you there for the Broncos and what he did. Now he joins the Seahawks. He's pushed down to 16. He doesn't get to play with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Right now it's Drew Lock, so there's that. So there's some familiar chemistry should Lock be the starter here, at least for one season in Seattle. So about the right for Noah Fant. We kind of have to take a wait-and-see approach to see how the transition goes for the third Iowa tight end. Tyler Higbee, he kind of flew solo there without Gerald Everett last year, but still finishes tight end 15. He's ranked as tight end 18. That's about right here for Tyler Higbee in this Rams situation. They do have some younger guys that they could look at to help there with the receiving, but Higbee might fade a little bit. I think he's always going to be capped by the fact that the Rams are still at heart a 11 personnel team and trying to get the three wide receivers involved, and Higbee more used as a blocker to help in the running game. Now, finally, last guy we'll talk about in this segment is Mike Gesicki. Surprisingly, he finished only as tight end 16 in terms of the average scoring. He was a little bit higher than that in terms of overall scoring with some of the injuries ahead of these guys, but you look at Gesicki, he bumps up to 13. I think that's a little conservative. I think part of it is Tyreek Hill coming into the mix, but having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle is going to help Gesicki. You also have some established chemistry between Gesicki and Tua Tagovailoa. You also have the franchise tag used, much like Dalton Schultz here, to bring him back as a key target for his quarterback. So look at Mike Gesicki looking pretty good here. And look, he's a good receiver. You look at the numbers, they've improved every year that he's been in the league with Miami. He's going to be a key target again. Hill's going to cut into it with the targets, obviously, but they really didn't have a lot, so you still need him in the third guy in the pecking order, at least, or a co-guy with Waddle here, because that's where Tua Tagovailoa's strengths are, the short to intermediate passing game. So Mike Gesicki here comes in as tight end 16, but tight end 13 with a bullet. I think he's headed upward here in 2022. And we still have a few more guys to talk about. There's another guy that cracked the top 12 that we haven't mentioned still that finished lower than that last season. So we'll get into him in our final segment. Similar situation to Kyle Pitts with a change in quarterback and going into year 2. So there's a hint on who that tight end is. Before we get into that, I got to tell you, it's April, and sometimes you can give up on your resolutions easily here from January. But Built Bar has helped me carry them through all the way to spring and beyond. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right. Thanks to Built Bar, it's not really feeling like a resolution because I actually enjoy eating them, and you should too. And if you haven't tried the Puffs, you have to. You're missing out on one of the Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein marshmallow infused. They're fluffy. They're marshmallow. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate, just like every Built Bar you get. All bars covered in 100% real chocolate. That includes the Puffs that you get from Built Bar. And all you have to do is check out how healthy Built Bars are. Go to Built.com, scroll down the macros, you'll be blown away. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Mint brownie, coconut almond, some of these are the classic flavors. They also have to look out for special flavors. A couple of months ago, we had white chocolate cookies and cream. They're all delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. If Built Bar thinks the flavor might be good, they'll make it. It'll be delicious, and it'll be good for you as well. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show. We'll go a little bit more rapid fashion to get more tight ends into this final segment. We will talk about 14 guys here, and we'll look at some other guys that are stragglers, some guys that are really going to be dropping off here. Pat Freiermuth is a guy that I teased earlier as a tight end one in the rankings. He was 17th in terms of average half-point PPR scoring last year at tight end as a rookie out of Penn State for the Steelers. Now he steps into a situation without Ben Roethlisberger. You have Deontay Johnson, you have Chase Claypool. You lose James Washington from this mix for the Steelers. So Freiermuth should be in that third range in the pecking order for whoever's the quarterback. Right now it would be Mitchell Trubisky over Mason Rudolph, but a rookie could come in, and rookie treats a tight end like a security blanket. So like Pitts, very similar situation. However it plays out quarterback, Freiermuth should be a key short to intermediate target all the way through the red zone, which was a lot of the strength of Freiermuth. That's where Pitts can improve there, finishing some drives. But that was a big asset for Freiermuth as a rookie. So that should build here in year two. I think he'll be a regular. Again, he reminded me a lot of Heath Miller when the Steelers took him, and I think you're going to have that kind of value as a tight end one going forward. Jared Cook, definitely on the way down here. He finished as a tight end 18 average-wise last year. Falls to 27, not a surprise with the Chargers adding Gerald Everett there. Everett is ranked 23rd. He finished in his first and only season with the Seahawks at 22nd. So Everett is a guy you're going to look there if you're going to target someone for that Chargers tight end spot playing off Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Max Williams actually finished 19th, and Zach Ertz kind of ran with it and bumped up 7 spots when he was in there, taking over for Williams, who tore up his knee. He's still a distant second fiddle to Ertz and off the radar here. You have a couple Jets that are newcomers there that finished 20 and 21st last year, respectively, for the Bengals and Vikings. CJ Uzama, 33rd on the board. Tyler Conklin at 38. So these guys are on their way down as they're working off each other on an offense that's going to be more wide receiver centric. So Uzama, Conklin, not the best spots to produce here. Bengals still looking for someone who can step up and replace Uzama. It's not going to be Drew Sample. You have Irv Smith, however, benefiting from Conklin leaving Minnesota, coming off the injury himself there. He's at 22. So a tight end, too, with some upside there in the Vikings situation, minus Conklin and Irv Smith. We talk about Gerald Everett at 23. David Njoku finished last year at 23. He's ranked 24 here, comes back on the franchise tag, surprisingly for Cleveland, but no Austin Hooper, so he has to deal with Harrison Bryant. Speaking of Austin Hooper, he went on to the Titans. He's ranked right behind David Njoku at 25, so didn't do a lot last year, was banged up a bit for the Browns, so again, not too much to see there. Brevin Jordan was interesting that he finished there at 24. We didn't expect that from the Texans tight end. He's ranked 32nd. So I think he's going to be a bigger part of the offense than people think. So I think 32 is a little bit too low here for Brevin Jordan. I really like his skill set coming out of Miami as well as a second-year tight end right there with Pitts and Freiermuth. Cole Kmet, this is a guy that really plummeted, and part of it was the Jimmy Graham presence there. Didn't throw to him a lot last year. I think that's going to increase here. He could have a Robert Tonyan-like season in the Packers-themed offense of the Bears working with Justin Fields, playing off Darnell Mooney. They don't have a lot here in the passing game. They're going to have to look at the number two spot in a little bit and upgrade that. So Cole Kmet should be in a good spot to challenge for some back-end tight end one value this year. Robert Tonyan has been touchdown dependent in the past. People have been conservative coming off a torn ACL with him. He's ranked 19th, but the Packers could also address tight end the draft, get a guy to maybe succeed Mercedes Lewis as the complimentary tight end, so something to look at there. Evan Engram going to the Jaguars, not very promising there. He's 20th on the board, so we'll see. Albert Okwuegbunam for the Broncos with Noah Fant gone, playing with Russell Wilson. We know Wilson is not a big tight end target. You also know between Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and Tim Patrick that you're not going to have a lot of targets come to the tight end. They're going to be fourth in the pecking order at best. So Albert O is at 21 there. So, again, Fan has a lot more value than Albert O at this point, even though separated one from the Broncos situation. The one with Wilson is, I think, much worse off here this season. So we talked about all of them. Those are the breakdown here for you. Irv Smith and Hooper as well, two guys to consider in that tight end two range with some upside there. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of your tight end rankings as they stand and how they look in relation to last year's finish in scoring in half-point PPR. This closes our look at these positions. So we got through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. If you missed any of the other three positions, check them out. And again, we're operating with the consensus expert rankings, focusing on a half point from Fantasy Pros. So we're trying to use a standard there, and that's what we tend to use here on Locked On Fantasy Football to analyze and dissect whether we agree or disagree and what the industry is thinking about these guys. That's what we wanted to update you on here going into the NFL Draft. We'll focus more on the NFL Draft here going forward, look into the prospects again and seeing the possibilities there. So we'll get specifically with the quarterback situation here and knowing who could have the best impact and where, and we'll start looking at the fits here for the two quarterbacks that are expected to go early in the first round, Kenny Pickett of Pittsburgh and Malik Willis of Liberty. So that'll be our next show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second listen. Speaking of draft, Locked On NFL Draft, Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with inside analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we'll close the week looking at potential of Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis as reality and fantasy players here in this league, depending on where they go. So check us out. Again, if you missed any of the StockWatch updates here for any of the positions, check it out on our feed. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day and see you tomorrow as we start going back and looking at the future rookies here in the 2022 NFL Draft.